Our scripture reading today comes from 1 John verses 1 through 4. Won't you hear these words? We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds, give us wisdom and insight so that we might hear what the Spirit would say to us through these words and from this word of Scripture. So we come together today for the nurture of our own lives and for the strength of our church and for the advance of the mission of Jesus to change the world. In whose name we pray, amen. The handiwork of God abounds in a great display of brilliant colors in the spring and early summer, this time of year, every year. And against the backdrop of green in every shade, flowers almost jump out of the ground. They sing a song of life like some great choir in a kind of choral, floral arrangement of an ode to joy. As author Iris Murdoch once wrote, "People from a planet without flowers would think we must be mad with joy all the time to have such things about us." When I look out and imagine all your faces, all your lives, all of our lives, I see beautiful expressions of great variety together in authentic community and in true communion with God and with each other. As the masks come off and restrictions ease and gathering increases, I find myself mad with joy, rejoicing. I sense and see the joy of community coming back into full bloom. Today, we launched a series of sermons called Children of God, Seeking the Light in 1 John, a small biblical book by the same name. It's one of three small writings that have a great affinity with and echoes of the Gospel of John. Now, 1 John is often referred to as a letter, but it does not have letter form. There's no formal opening and closing like so many letters in the Bible, and it probably is a sermon or a teaching essay. In fact, a good case can be made that 1 John is the third of three documents delivered at the same time to a church. New Testament scholar Luke Timothy Johnson argues that what we call 3 John was a letter of recommendation to a church leader certifying that the carrier of the other two documents should be received and trusted with open arms. What we call 2 John, he says, was to be read to the congregation as a cover letter for what we call 1 John, this sermon-like teaching. Apparently, at the church to which these documents were sent, there was some conflict and shakeup going on. So the pastor puts together this three-document packet out of great desire and meticulous intention to guide the congregation. He tells us clearly in what we heard read earlier, quote, "We are writing these things to you that our joy may be complete." The pastor writing this lesson wants to be mad with joy, full of joy, to experience perfect joy in bold and beautiful blossom. He writes to nurture and inspire a certain kind of joy, the joy of community. That is, the joy that community creates and the joy experienced in community. In particular, he points to the joy of community rooted and centered in God through Jesus. So he opens with a reference to Jesus as the one who is from the beginning of their life and faith together, the one in whom the life of God appears, the one who reveals God as light and love. In fact, as we move through this series in 1 John, we will encounter two brief but bold and brightly highlighted declarations that define God and summarize much of what is written. God is light and God is love. Light refers to wisdom and guidance for how we live and conduct ourselves. God's light both reveals our sin and shows us how to avoid error. It also guides us to live faithful to the way of Jesus. Love refers to God's faithfulness in forgiving sin and in bonding us both to God and to each other. More than once, we will hear the familiar command, love one another. So the writer recalls and represents Jesus in these opening verses as the touchable, tangible, observable demonstration of the divine life that is light for all humanity, the light that ultimately all of us are seeking. He declares that Jesus is the root, the basis, the center of the community of the faithful. He represents Jesus to them so that everyone is clear about the singular basis of Christian community, both vertically between persons and God and horizontally between each other. His claim is this: we embrace Jesus so that we have communion with God and community with each other. We embrace communion with God and community with each other so that we realize the full joy of life in connection, so that we are mad with joy when we see or connect with all the people in the community of faith. As children, many of us learn that little hand demonstration, that little rhyme, here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Now that the church is becoming what we call phygital, P-H-Y-G-I-T-A-L, a combination of physical and digital, that simple little demonstration doesn't quite tell the whole story. Now we both open actual doors and see people gathered in physical spaces, and we also open virtual doors and see, quote, see people through online portals, cameras, connections, apps, and experiences. The joy of community can be found even in the combination of the two. We also yearn, certainly, for everyone to come home to the church building when people are ready, even as we also honor everyone who finds it necessary and helpful to connect some of the time or even all of the time online. In fact, it is interesting that even in these ancient writings, we find the both and of technology and in-person connections and communication. In this opening to 1 John, the writer claims that he is using the low-tech technology of pen and paper, or quill and papyrus back then, to send his sermon. He's writing so that joy will flood his soul. But in 2 John, the cover letter to 1 John, he writes, although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Both and. The time has come when we also must embrace the joy of community, both physically and digitally, and become fully there's that word again, fidgetal. But why? Well, for the fullness of the joy of community, so that we serve the people, connect with the people, nurture and challenge the people, and invite and welcome new people into the joy of community centered in Jesus, in whom we discover the light and the life of God. And we do that using both physical and digital means and methods. In an online post about a year ago, titled, and it's a long title, "After Coronavirus Stopped My Real World Choir, I Found Joy and Solace in Singing with Strangers Globally." That's Tom Vanderbilt's title to his post. He tells how he was not a very capable singer, but he had taken vocal lessons so that he could escape singing only in the shower. So after some practice, he joined the New York Choir Project because he liked their choice of music and songs and because they did not require auditions. That would be my kind of choir. He said a funny thing happened. Choir became a high point in his life. He had closed out a normally dreary Monday with that evening's rehearsal and leave on an absolute high. Small wonder, he said, for as science and experience have shown, singing together is ridiculously good for us. There's a raft of evidence for how it improves our sense of well-being, releases a flood of beneficial hormones, lowers blood pressure, and boosts immune response. Then the pandemic hit and the choir shut down. And as the weeks wore on, deprived of participation in live choir, he turned to a popular online karaoke app called Smule. He turned there because he wanted to sing, and he began to connect and sort of sing with people around the world. He said he sang Sondheim songs with Indonesians, Spanish ballads with Germans, and reggae anthems with Koreans. But he said, "I missed my real world choir. I missed feeling the actual energy coming off of other people." And like any number of quarantine choirs, he said his choir eventually moved online to the familiar Zoom grid. He said it was reassuring to see the sea of earbud-clad friendly faces, but as the technology wasn't quite there, they really couldn't sing together, all together, live. And so back in July of 2020, not knowing how long it might be, he said, "I'm dreaming of the day our voices reunite." So now for us, after months and months of church by distance, after a long, long stretch of vacant Sunday school classrooms, after untold hours on Zoom or home alone, there can be little doubt that physical, in-person gathering has a deeper and more resonant energy and impact on us than online. It may not create more joy, but it certainly generates more felt joy. God, of course, can work through distance and digital means, no problem, but we sense the presence and energy of God even more and more easily when we gather in person. Just as the writer of 1 John highlights how the life and light of God was made immediate, touchable, and observable in Jesus, in a similar way, we are overjoyed by gathering in tangible places without masks or with them if we're not yet vaccinated, able to actually see smiles and expressions face to face, and today on June 6th to enjoy sweet fellowship with donuts, to sing with hymnals that we can hold, greet others with handshakes as appropriate, and hear voices beside us in harmonious praise. We are mad with joy at the beauty of God's people gathered, but We are also flooded with joy at the beauty of God's people connected by these virtual means: online worship, digital video small groups, meetings, etc. The future holds both experiences for the church, and we will embrace both wholeheartedly and strategically. Necessary schedules, interruptions, winter weather, health restrictions, and other things that previously would have kept us from worship or other engagements may now be overcome, at least in part, by digital online options. Of course. You see, finally, joy and community that generates joy is not wholly dependent upon external matters or modes of connection and gathering. The true joy that Christian community generates is generated by faithfulness. By faithfulness. That is the overall point of the book of 1 John. The pastor who writes these instructions desires the joy that a healthy community generates, and he knows that that requires faithfulness. Faithfulness to the generating center of God made known in Jesus. Faithfulness to God who is light by our walking, that is, our living in the light. And faithfulness to God who is love as a community deeply and unshakably faithful to love both God and one another, just as God loves us, a love defined by the faithful sacrifice of Jesus. So we can turn up the volume and the speed of our music. We can punctuate the rhythms of our music as a way of lifting spirits and elevating enjoyment. We can fill our classrooms with the familiar aroma of coffee and the delicious of donuts, along with happy chatter and witty conversation that will create some laughter, of course, and gladness. But the joy that goes deep and rises strong up in the face of trouble is generated by a life of interconnected faithfulness. True and full joy comes from a classroom filled with true friendships. People in person and online who are genuine friends of God and friends of faith with each other. People who listen deeply, grieve, and celebrate with each other, make space for differences and variety, but never turn their back on each other. Full blossom joy comes also from disciples of Jesus engaged in work projects and justice advocacy out of faithfulness to the light and the love of God. Light for the world and love for the world, faithful to our prayer that God's love would reconfigure the world on earth as it is in heaven. In our families, we can generate happiness through gaining and spending by engaging in entertainment and sporting and fast busyness and multiplied obligations and engagements. But to generate joy in our families requires faithfulness, fidelity, and proactive relational work in marriage, and committed parenting that not only recognizes the bond of love on birthdays and graduations and other high moments, but that faithfully attends to the heartaches, the ambitions, the errors, and the ruminations of our children. Creating true joy in families also calls for intentional churching, the kind of family participation in church in nurturing faith, both by engagement in worship, discipleship, and missions, and by at-home engagement that intentionally relates faith in God to developments in the news, current affairs, personal experiences with others, and much more. So both as church and as families, even in our businesses, multiplied, interconnected faithfulness generates joy, the joy of community. walking in the light, seeking the light, readiness to act in the light of the teachings and examples of Jesus generates joy. Faith-centered working together to feed the hungry, keep the utilities on, provide clothing or education, or to build an affordable house for a family generates joy. And then there is this happy corollary. The joy that is generated by faithfulness in turn generates and strengthens community. Communal faithfulness then also generates joy. And that joy fosters fellowship that is faithful to God and each other. And life together with this joyfulness spurs even more joy. Increased joy then multiplies the bonds of communion and on, creating this wonderful synergizing spiral as joy and community feed upon each other so that we realize the increase of spiritually and emotionally healthier, happier, and more truly loving families and family of faith. Faithful community in Christ has the power to generate joy. Joy has the power to rescue and redeem and build community. In his book, Jewish Tales of Mystic Joy, Yitzhak Buxbaum tells this story about Rabbi Bunim. A young man slipped and fell into the swift current of a surging river. Another moment and he would drown. Everyone panicked and they were all crying out in terror, "Save him! Somebody save him! He's going to die!" But the rabbi cried out to the drowning man in a rather joyous and elevated statement, "Give my regards to Leviathan." What seemed a weird reference to the giant sea creature or monster mentioned several times in the Hebrew scriptures. The drowning man, who had lost hope of fighting the current, heard the rabbi's quirky shout out and suddenly began to struggle again for himself, to save himself. Why? Because the rabbi's lighthearted wisdom snatched him out of his despair and aroused his will to live. It renewed his energy, and he struggled successfully against the roiling current until he finally latched onto a floating plank that had been cast out from a passing ship, and he held onto it until he was able to get safely to the shore. Well, there was a big crowd on the shore, but the man went straight to the rabbi and fell on his neck and said, "You saved my life. If it wasn't for your clever words, I would have died because of my despair and the confusion I was in because of everyone's dire screams. But your joyful humor aroused my will to live. Because of you, I am alive." Rabbi Bunim used to tell this story and conclude, "See the power of joy." Let us pray. We give you our thanks, O God, that you pull us into community with you, centered in Jesus, and you give us joy in many ways as we live life together in your light and in your love. May it be true in all of our lives, our families, and in all that we do. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen.